Okay, good evening, everybody. It is a privilege and a pleasure, a zechus, to be here tonight learning together and learning Le'ilui Nishmas Sari Shalmon, Sara Leah Bas Shifra, Shifra Yaakov, Allah Hashalom. We thank Daron Shalmon and family for sponsoring tonight. One of my big regrets is that I did not have a chance to really know your late wife, Allah Shalom. I have heard a lot about her from many members of the community, and especially Rabbi Luban. And Rabbi Luban is generally not a very effusive person. He's more on the quiet, reserved side, but he would very often, even before her illness, but when she was not well, he would talk a lot about how amazing as she was. There was an article in the Jewish Link after she passed away, and I didn't know this when Daron suggested the topic, that she taught science in RPY for, I think, 25 years, 26 years. And Mrs. Lukens, who wrote the article, said the one thing that comes to mind when thinking about her, the way she taught science, was Marabu Masech Hashem, which is the way science should be taught. And I'm sure that had a tremendous impact on her students, and that's really what led us to try to tackle and discuss this topic tonight. Also in that article, and very appropriate for the parshas that we're in and we're reading, she wrote, when I think of Sari, I'm reminded of Yosef HaTzadik in the last couple of parshiot, who is probably the character in the Torah most frequently described as being overcome with emotion and crying. Sarah in the privacy of my office would often be overcome by her concerns for her students, and she would cry for them. She knew intuitively that so much of human communication is nonverbal, and she tried to convey her love, often framing it to the students as putting on her Ima hat. We need more teachers like that in the world. The kids, students need that. Our children need that. And anyone here who's a teacher, I see some teachers here, should, and all of us as parents, should live up to that, and the learning tonight should be le'ilui and le'zechus nishmasa. So we're going to learn tonight the bracha on seeing the ocean. On seeing the ocean, there's a bracha. There are also brachas to be recited on rivers, mountains, valleys. We can't get to all that tonight. It might be another part to the shir, though. That is more purely halachic. What I'd like to do tonight is discuss the halacha of the bracha that's said on the ocean, and maybe a different bracha on either the Atlantic or the Mediterranean, as we'll get to in a few minutes. Understand what the bracha is about, and then use that as a segue to talk about seeing the beauties of the world, nature, the notion of Marabu Masech Hashem, because we'll see there's, I think, some conflicting lessons and messages and statements in Chazal. So let's start with the halacha. I'm going to start with the fact that it's confusing. And I'm also starting with this because Daron is holding in Svardi Halacha like crazy. Now, I'm not, so anything he says, I believe him. But when we were learning together in the Smichas Chavashir, always quoting the Svardi Gedolim and the Gedolei Aposkim. So we'll start with a tshuva of Rav Ben Sion Abba Shaul, who is a great Sephardic Rav, the Rosh Tshuva of Parat Yosef in Yerushalayim. Lived from 1924 to 1998, one of the leaders of Sephardic Jewry. And he was asked, what's the story with these brachos? The bracha on thunder and lightning and on a rainbow and on the ocean and the river, what's the, you make a bracha? I was asked, people here, when was the last time someone here made a bracha on the ocean?
No.
Only two. People here have been near the ocean, have seen the ocean, I'm sure. Right? We don't make the, most people here have not recited that bracha, which is fascinating, because as we'll see, it's a halacha in Shulchan Aruch. It's an explicit Mishnah, and it's a halacha in Shulchan Aruch without a dissenting view. Yet, so few of us have recited that bracha. So he was asked, how come people make the bracha with Hashem's name, without Hashem's name? And look what he writes, Tshuva. It's the second paragraph in source number one. Kol brachos ha'ilu me'ikra din sarech levarcham v'shem u'malchus. Really, me'ikra din, each of these brachos should be said with shame and malchus. That means, Baruch ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam. A full, legitimate bracha. We come ha'kom, yesh mekomo shenagu levarech brachos ha'ilu ol chalkam below shem u'malchus. So even though the halacha is to say it fully, there are places that don't say it fully. B'chol achad yinag k'minag mekomo. Apparently, our minhag is not to say it at all. If you don't have a minog, Rashai levarich brachos elim b'shem malchus. You're allowed to say it with shem malchus. V'af mishenog shelo levarich b'shem malchus. Even someone who doesn't have the custom or has the custom not to say it with shem malchus, the full bracha. Ukeis wrote selinog levarich b'shem malchus, and now it changes mind and wants to Rashai levarich b'shem malchus. So what did he just say? You should. Some people don't. If you want to, you could. If you don't, but you want to, you could start. So you're starting to see already that there's some confusion in this bracha. My dear friend and colleague from Tanner, Yaakov Chaver, told me that his grandfather, his wife's grandfather, Rav David Feinstein, didn't really say these brachas. Rainbow and... there's so many sveikos. He wouldn't say the bracha. Yet, you have opinions who took it very seriously. I saw that Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, the Chassag of Bracha, quotes a story of Rav David Baran. Rav David Baran was one of the great old Yerushalmi Jews. He lived from 1865 to 1946. I think he was one of the founders of Shari Chesed, Rav David Baran. And Rav Shlomo Zalman said when there was a great earthquake in Yerushalayim, I'm not sure what year he's referring to. I know in the early 1900s there was a big earthquake in Sfas. I'm not sure what year he's referring to. There was a great earthquake in Yerushalayim. People were scared. Some people even started saying vidui. And Rav David Baran stood up fully and made the bracha of Osa Maisa Bracious. That's a mindfulness. That's intense. So people were saying vidui, and he was saying the bracha of Osa Maisa Bracious. So I'm just highlighting that you have this confusion. People who are not reciting the bracha at all with the bracha Shem Malchus, without Shem Malchus, and during a time of vidui, Rav David Baran is saying it. So I think it's important to understand this halacha. Certainly, some people late December, January, midwinter go away. Maybe you're going to Florida or other places where there are oceans, rivers, mountains. And to understand the bracha, what it's about, and some halachas about it, I thought was important. So we'll start with the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch writes in source number 3, Al Yamim Vinaharos, on bodies of water and rivers, Harim Ugvos Umidbaros, mountains, valleys, and deserts, Omer Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, Osem Aisa Bracious. God does the creation. Okay, we'll stop there for a minute. We'll come back to the next. But if you just look at Sif Beis and Sif Gimel, Lo Akol Naharos Mevarech, Lo Akol Harim Ugvaos Mevarech. So you're right. I just said you make a bracha on rivers, not all rivers. I just said you make a bracha on mountains and valleys, but not all mountains and valleys. So we're not going to get into the halachas of which rivers, mountains, and valleys tonight. Maybe we'll have a part. I want to talk about the sea. Where does it come from? It's a Mishnah. The Mishnah at the beginning of the ninth parak of Brachos in source number 4. The Mishnah starts, Haroa Makom Shanasa Bonitzim Yisrael. A person sees a place where miracles happen to the Jewish people. He says, the Bracha Sha'asa Nisim Lavosenu B'Makom Azeh. And there are many other brachos recited on thunder, on lightning, on intense winds. And then the Mishnah writes, the end of the second line, Al haharim val hagvos val hayamim val hanaharos val minbaros omer baruch oseh bereishis. We say oseh maisa bereishis, but there is a bracha. It's a Mishnah, and the Mishnah is quoted lahalacha in Shulchan Aruch. Why is this bracha oseh maisa bereishis and not shekocho gvuraso mali olam? That's the bracha we recite on thunder, on winds, kocho gvuraso mali olam, because there, the impact is felt further away. When there's thunder, it's kochol gvurasa mali olam. It's beyond the person who's standing. I mean, you can't see it, so no one's standing anywhere. But it's heard, it's felt. The strength of Hashem is felt from a further distance. But here is different. This bracha is that Hashem created this that's there has been there since the time of creation. And if you take a look, the Elia Rabba in source 6 writes something so beautiful, and we can really quote this Elia Rabba and stop the shiur right here. We're not going to. We could. He says, Perush, Kevan Sheyistan Me'az, since that they were created from before, from the time of creation, V'shivcho shel makom hu kishemakirim hayom davar shel yodin shamakom bero b'sheishes yimei bereishis v'adayin hu kayam. Think about that. This thing was created from the time God created the world, and it's still here today. Think about how unbelievable is that. We are looking for artifacts, and someone sent me an article today where Chaim Kanievsky's Strymal was sold for $1.8 million. You could have my hat for $10. I'll give it to you. Well, maybe not 10. It costs more than that. We're artifacts, you go to the Hall of Fame. I mean, how many Lahavdil? Many, 1.8 million times. We're artifacts that are 100 year old, 200 year old, 300 year old that we go crazy about. This was created by a Kadosh Baruch Hu and it's still here. Unbelievable. Kal vachomer le'osehu shehu kayam. If that which God created is still here, doesn't that mean that God is still here? Unbelievable. So that's the bracha. That's a bracha that could take 10 minutes to recite properly. Osem Aisa Bracious fills us with such a sense of emuna in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, so that's really point one. Point two is the Shulchan Aruch writes that there's a difference between a regular body of water and Yam HaGadol. Yam HaGadol is really a Mishnah. That same Mishnah says that on Yam HaGadol, you say, Baruch Ta Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, Oseh HaYam HaGadol. The Yam HaGadol gets a special bracha. Just like Bori Pri HaGefen gets a special bracha. If you eat an orange, you say, Ha'etz. You drink orange juice, it's Sha'akol. But Ha'etz, Bori Pri HaGefen, grape juice, wine gets a special bracha. The Yam HaGadol gets a special bracha of Oseh Yam HaGadol. What's the Yam HaGadol? So this is a machlokes, Rishonim and Achronim. The Shulchan Aruch writes, Val Yam HaGadol, this is in source 8, the end of the first line. Al Yam HaGadol, because the Mishnah says on Yam HaGadol, gets a different bracha. Hu Hayam, She'ovrim Bo Le'eretz Yisrael Ulim Mitzrayim. So what's that referring to? The Mediterranean. Omrim Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Oseh Hayam HaGadol. What's special about that? Why does that body of water, the Mediterranean, get a special bracha? Why is that more chashuv than the Atlantic or the Pacific?
Waters there is
Israel. Yeah, says the Mishnah Berurah in source number 9. V'nikar Yam HaGadol, mivnei chashivuso shel Eretz Yisrael. Good. Aval, says the Mishnah Berurah, harbe achronim pligi al mechaber. Many achronim disagree on the mechaber. V'svir lehem, divdavka al yam okinos, which is the Atlantic. Shehu hayam hagadol shebuchol hayamim. Shemakif is kol ha'olam alav. It is greater than all our bodies of water. It surrounds the world. Alav kavu bracha b'fnei atzma b'nei gadlo. It's so chashiv. It's yam hagadol. So since it's so great, it gets that bracha. Aval hayam sheovrim bo l'eretz Yisrael. Lo nikra l'inyan ze yam hagadol. Umavarachin alav kimo al shar yamim. That is how most of the Ashkenazi poskim, paskin, Rabbi Yashiv, Rabbi Shlomo Zalman, Auerbach, they both paskin that on the Atlantic, you say, Oseh Hayam HaGadol, or Osa Hayam HaGadol on the Atlantic, and on the Mediterranean, you would make a regular bracha of Oseh Maisa Bereishis, one second, against the Shulchan Aruch, like the Mishnah Berurah. Rav Ovadia, and I'm quoting this again because maybe we'd quote it anyways. It's interesting, you would expect that Rav Ovadia to go straight with the Shulchan Aruch. That's what you would think. Maran Beit Yosef, you would think Rav Ovadia doesn't say that. Rav Ovadia said it's a suffix. So since it's a suffix, don't say either of them, on either of them, the bracha with Shema Machos. If you take a look in source number 11, Min Hagenu, Shelo Levarech Birchat Hayam HaGadol B'Shemu Malchus. Ki Yesafik Mahu Hayam HaGadol Shedibru Bo Chachamenu. It's a doubt. Safik Brachos LaHakel V'Lachein Haroe Es Yam HaTichon O Es HaOkenus Achas L'Shol Shemim. You saw it once in 30 days, because that's the Lacha. It has to be within 30 days, or not within 30 days. Einu Mavarech B'Shemu Malchus. And I think that's the reason, I'll take your questions in a second, I think that's probably the reason, without even knowing it, why people here I'm assuming it's not because of Amaratzis, which was the reason I never recited this bracha until recently. I'm assuming for people here it's because of this suffix. We're not sure what's the right bracha. Bracha still should be recited, just without Shema Malchus. But once you're saying a bracha without Shema Malchus, it already becomes very light in people's eyes. I mean, how often do we say brachas without Hashem's name? So because of that, I think that's why it's become very unknown or very kal, because of this uncertainty and suffix. Even though the mainstream Ashkenazi poskim say that the bracha should be Yam HaGadol on the Atlantic, not on the Mediterranean, like this Mishnah Berurah. Okay, there are a couple of questions. Larry.
I believe that someone from Gibraltar met Rav Chaim Kanievsky, and he said, he got all excited because he said, you can say the brachah, Ali Yamagadla, because you can see both the Mediterranean and the Atlantic one time.
Yeah, there's a story. Some people love the story, some people hate the story. Rav Steinman was traveling, and they got to that point. Right, it's like one spot in Gibraltar, I think, like you're saying, where you could see both. And they said, "This is the spot. You could say the bracha." And he continued his learning. He was learning. They said, "You, this is your chance." He said, "I should stop learning. I'm learning, and we'll come back to that." It reminds me, it's a little bit different. Rav Shmuel Birnbaum, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, was Rosh Yeshiva of the Mir in Brooklyn. He escaped with the Yeshiva of Shanghai, survived, went on the boat to America from Shanghai, I think 1947, and he brought his shtender with him on the ship. Okay, he was the biggest masman out there. They're on the boat, they're coming to America, to San Francisco, and they get to start to see the Golden Gate Bridge. And for a 20, 25-year-old who grew up in a shtetl somewhere in Poland, this was like the sign of strength and wealth of America. They had, what did they see? They saw Vilna. I mean, this is the Golden Gate Bridge. And there was a big tumult on the ship, and everyone ran to see it. And they said to Shmuel Brown, the Golden Gate Bridge. However you say that in Yiddish, I don't know. The Golden Gate Bridge, and he kept on learning. And they said, it's a once-in-a-lifetime chance to see the Golden Gate Bridge. And he said, it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to learn when you have a chance to see the Golden Gate Bridge. They're different approaches, but yes, there is that spot where l'kulei alma, you'll be able to make the bracha. Yes. Yeah, so I did...
It's larger than the Atlantic.
I did, I'll tell you, I did a little bit of research, which means Google, late this afternoon. I erroneously thought that the Atlantic was the largest body of water. It's not. It's not. Second largest body of water, the Pacific. I don't have an answer to that question. If someone has an answer to that question...
It means the ocean.
Huh?
It means the ocean. You might keep and call how long. It's the whole, the seven seas. It's all...
So what does it mean?
But that's not what it says. It says, you have a shot,
no?
I don't have an answer to your question.
I was at that spot in Gibraltar and we made the bracha.
Okay. Beautiful. This should be a trip that people make, just, you know? Some people go to crazy extremes to do, Shiluach HaKein and Petr Chamor. This will be another one to say the bracha. But again, Ashkenazim really should go with the Rav Shlomo Zalman and the Rabbi Yashiv, that the correct bracha on Atlantic is the Yam HaGadol. That's the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah says that way. Rav Avadya says don't say any of them, but for Ashkenazim it would seem to be that's me. But we'll see. It's not simple. I want to highlight what I think is really beautiful about this bracha based on multiple disputes in the Achronim, which come up rather frequently. Number one, the Be'er Halacha says, what happens if you went, say you're in Florida, you go to the beach, you see the ocean. You didn't make a bracha. You didn't make a bracha. And now you go back to your hotel. Your hotel's not right on the beach. It's a few blocks away. Or you go back to your apartment. Can you still recite the bracha? Can you still recite the bracha? You're not there. You're not seeing it anymore. So the Be'er Halacha of the Chafetz Chaim says no. He says for all these types of brachos, just like... you can only recite the bracha if you hear the thunder, but a minute later, you can't recite the bracha anymore, so too, you have to still be there, and seeing it has to be somewhat visible to recite the bracha. Number one, what about at night? Can you say the bracha at night? Can you say the bracha at night? Yeah, so the Sefer Zosa bracha says, even though you can't see it well, you don't see all the waves, you don't see it so clearly, if you see it, you can discern that this is the ocean, you can recite the bracha. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach disagrees on both those points. He says, you can still say the bracha even after you're left and you don't see it. And you can't see the you can't recite the bracha under normal situations at night. Why? Because what is this bracha? The bracha is not merely on seeing it. The bracha is on appreciating it, being inspired by it. Take a look in source 15. Ra'as Hayam, it's on page 4. The other stuff you can see inside later. Ra'as Hayam, oh, it's source 15. Oh, harimu gva'os shemevarech melem, v'over min amakum, v'shuv in a Rome. You left the place and you don't see them anymore. Nireh, shekol zman shehis pa'aluso nimshaches, mevarech. It's a big chiddush. You saw it yesterday, but you're still in awe. I've never been to the Grand Canyons. People here have been, I'm sure. I'm assuming the next day there is still some degree of... No? It's... Whoa!
Five times during the day in a different spot in a different sun, it's different.
Okay, but...
Same day.
Even... Right, but I'm saying even... You're gone if you're... If you're still... Because the bracha is not merely, oh, I see it, okay, I see it. It's to be inspired, to be wowed, to have his palace of what you're seeing, as long as that inspiration, that amazement is still present, says Rav Shlomo Zalman, you could say the bracha. And therefore, v'chein aro'es hayam b'layla, im mispayal miriyasim avarech, v'imlav lo yavarech. If you see it at night, and you're not wowed by it, which is often the case. It's maybe peaceful. It's nice. You can hear the waves crashing. But if you're not wowed by what you see, then don't make the bracha. Which I think is it's a different understanding of the bracha. It goes well with the Eli Rabba we saw. It's the point of this is to be wowed by what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has created. So if you're still wowed, even if you don't see it, or if you see it and you're not wowed, it's two sides of the same coin. Rav Shlomo Zalman also says, very interestingly, let's say you live right by the ocean, but you happen to have not seen the ocean for 30 days. But you live right there. You live two blocks away. You always walk the other direction. So he says, when you see it, even though it's been 30 days, you can't make a bracha. If you live right there, he actually passes this way about tearing kriya at the Kotel also. If you live in Yerushalayim, and you have not been to the Kotel for 30 days, some say you should tear Kriya, because to live in Yerushalayim and not go to the Kotel, that itself should be a reason to tear Kriya. But Rav Shlomo Zalman says, no, it's already quoted in the Shari Tshuva, and I have it over here in Source 14, it's Machlokes. If you live there, you're not wowed, amazed, you don't feel the tsar as much when you go there, because it's you're there all the time. So he says the same thing when it comes to this halacha. If you're there all the time, you haven't seen it, doesn't create, it doesn't generate or trigger the same emotion. If that's true, I saw in a psak from Shlomo Miller, who's a big postdoc in Toronto, he says what's very relevant for many of us in Source 16, it's a very practical halacha, Haroa es hayam migove hamatos. I see the ocean from the plane. You're high above the water, hopefully. Hopefully. Velo nire bibirirus riboy hamayim. Ela kinyan kichol bavad. It looks like sand to you. What? Huh? Sorry. Ela kanan kachol, a blue cloud. Ein levarich, I love. You don't make a bracha. Delo margish in al yedei neflaos haboris, Baruch Shemo. You don't feel it. Now, there's neflaos habori that you're on an airplane and you're floating in the sky, but when you see it from so other poskim disagree, but I think this goes very well with Rav Shlomo Zalman's psak. You have to feel, be margish neflaos habori, and when you see the ocean from up on top on an airplane, you don't generally sense it. But if you're now in descent, and now you're getting close, and you see it, and you're wowed by it, then he says you would make a bracha, because you can make a bracha through a window, you still see it. It's all about what our level of inspiration is, and that's the bracha of either Osa Maisa Bereshis or Osa Yam HaGadol, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created this. It's still there from creation, and look at what HaKadosh Baruch Hu created. And I want to segue from here to the idea of appreciating what HaKadosh Baruch Hu created by quoting for you one of the hardest Mishnayos to understand. The Mishnah over here, on the next page in Source 5, it's Mishnah in Avos. I spoke about this on Parak on the Lawn in 2019. Usually like five people came to Parak on the Lawn, so the percentages are that no one here was probably there. And if you were there, you probably don't remember, because I don't remember it either. Rabbi Shimon Omer, this is a Mishnah. Hamahalech b'derech v'shone u'mafsik b'mishnaso. A person is walking, and they're learning while they're walking, and they stop learning. V'omer, ma na ilan zeh. Wow, what a beautiful tree. Niflal sabore, marabu masach Hashem, ma le'al av akasav ki'ilu mischayiv b'nafsho. It's as if you're chayiv miso. So I'll tell you something. One of the probably worst teachings, we're talking about a great teacher. My first year teacher teaching ninth grade boys. It was that first snow in the December or January. So Nitz is a teacher. Is it possible to teach that day?
It happened to me a couple of weeks ago. Flurries.
Oh my God! Flurries! Is it sticking? Oh, are they going to cancel school? What time is school going to end early? And high school boys, forget about it. So, okay, I was a very idealistic teacher. I had anyone turn their desk the other way so they don't face the window. Then, it wasn't working. So I read for them this Mishnah. I read for them this Mishnah, and I said, how could it be? I want you to come in tomorrow morning and tell me what's pshat in this. I said, you're not chayav misa. I promise you, I'm not saying you're chayav misa. But there's a Mishnah. We have to deal with this Mishnah. The next day, Rabbi Yosef Adler, the principal of TBC, called me to his office. He said, I got two calls from parents. Said, you're a nut job. You told the kids they're chayav misa because they're looking out the window. Okay. I told them they're not chayav. What's pshat in the Mishnah? How do you understand this Mishnah? So Rashi says, ki ba'ot she'adam shona, ein lo la'siach sichos chulin. Oh, you're right. You can't. You're learning. You shouldn't be engaged in other non-holy matters. Kitzarech la'amod b'yira u'be'ema lifnei ha'Torah. Me'acher shu mishtamish b'kisra shel Torah. You're engaged in Torah. You're the crown of Torah. Shu kisra shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's the crown of God. Tzarech shlo yedaber sicha b'teila. You can't be engaged in anything else. Rashi seems to understand the Mishnah, kipshuto, which is very difficult because looking at the beauties of creation is Avodas Hashem. The Rambam very famously, you have it here in Source 19, you can take a look at it later. The Rambam says the mitzvah to love Hashem. How do we love Hashem? We can't see Him, we can't touch Him, we can talk to Him, but we don't hear what He's saying back. How do we love Hashem? It's the mitzvah to love Hashem. First of all, let's say you don't. So what are you supposed to do? You can't force love. How do you fulfill it? It's a loving Hashem. So the Rambam says, we'll read two lines because it's so important. The second line, Source 19. V'heichi aderech la'avaso v'yiraso. How do we get to a love of Hashem? B'shashi yizbonin ha'adam b'maisav. U'bruyav ha'niflaim ha'gedolim. When a person could contemplate the creations, the handiwork, the wondrous creation is the handiwork of God. And he sees that the wisdom in that creation has no end and no bounds. Miyad hu ohev umishabeach umifayer umisavet taiva gedola leida Hashem agadol. Immediately you're filled with an intense love and a desire to praise and glorify HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Think about how our bodies, you don't have to be a scientist. Think about how our bodies work, how HaKadosh Baruch Hu created. It's unbelievable. It's you don't need me to tell it to you. It's absolutely incredible to look around the world. How could you not be filled with love of Hashem? So you see that looking at a beautiful tree is a way to get to the love of Hashem. So how can it be that you're chayev misa? You're not really chayev misa, but it's ki'ilum, it's chayev benafsho. How could that be? The Rambam in the Shmona Prakim says when a person is sad, a person is depressed, what should they do? They should listen to music. This is the Rambam. This is not a modern day psychologist or therapist. Listen to music. You should travel in the gardens and go look at beautiful buildings and drawings, and that'll help you. It'll calm you down. It'll remove the depression. It'll give you health, and it'll lead you to the place where you could acquire wisdom. So it's a good thing. It's valuable. It's positive. Yet it's ki'ilu mischayiv benafsho. So what does that mean? How can that be? So there's different explanations. Rashi says that you're right, the other things have value. He doesn't say it like that, but that's what he means. But what really protects you? What protects you is the Torah. So the satan or other things that are coming to damage you can't get there if they have the Torah as the wall. It's the alarm. It's going to block anything from getting you. The other things might be good, but it's not creating the same shmira. That's how Rashi learns. The Ksav Sofer has something fascinating. The Ksav Sofer writes that, you're right, learning all day, only engaged in learning, is not for everybody. But we shouldn't glorify that. We shouldn't glorify that. If a person's walking and he needs to take a break and he needs to look at the trees, that's fine. And maybe for you it's good. But if you're saying, wow, kama, na, ilan, zeh, how beautiful is this? It's almost like you're proud of the fact that Torah is not working for you. And that pshat always bothered me, because if what you're engaged in is positive, and you're engaged in it because you're not connecting with learning, but instead of going to do whatever, you're doing something that's going to bring you closer to Avos Hashem, you should be proud of it. So I never really totally understood the Ksav Sofer, but I want to share with you a Nesiva Shalom, which is so, so beautiful. It's not in the Nesiva Shalom. It was quoted in a Sefer I have on Pirkei Avos. He's calling Rav Shalom Ibaranovich. The Nesiva Shalom, his name is Shalom, he lived in Baranovich before the war. So he says something unbelievable. If you're learning, you see a beautiful tree. You see a beautiful tree that Kadosh Baruch Hu created. Is that called that you stopped learning? Is that called mafsik mimishnaso? The language of the Mishnah is someone who's walking and learning, and he sees mafsik mimishnaso. He stopped his learning. Says in the Siva Shalom, that's also called learning. Seeing the tree and being wowed by it and using that as a vehicle to get closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that is learning. That's not called mafsik mimishnaso. If the point of learning is to get closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the point of looking at the beautiful trees and gardens and creations of the HaKadosh Baruch Hu is also bringing you closer to Hashem, that's not called mafsik mimishnaso. That's not a break. It's one and the same. So the problem is not that you stopped learning. That's not the problem. The problem is that you're considering it as a break from your learning. It's not a break from your learning. It's all one and the same. Looking at what HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, whether it's a body of water, a beautiful tree, mountains, valleys, deserts, oceans, river, that could bring us to such a level of Avas Hashem. It could bring us so close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As the Rambam says, you have a tayuva gedola, a great desire just to cling to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's not a stop from your learning. There's something so beautiful about that. And I'll tell you the truth, if we really thought about it, we would not need oceans, the Grand Canyon, the desert, any of these things to really see that. We can see that in every aspect of creation. Reb Chatzkel Levenstein, he was the mashkiach of the Mir Yeshiva as they escaped from Europe from Poland to Shanghai, and then was the mashkiach of the Panovich Yeshiva in Bnei Brak until he passed away. His whole life was Amunah. He was known as the Gadol of Amunah and Bitachon. And he has a sitter, and they quote two pshatim on Marabu Masach Hashem. I was looking for a good pshat in honor of your wife, Allah Shalom. And look what he writes over here in Source 24. May Rov Habruim Hanirim Ba'olam, from the majority of things created in the world that we see, Anu Roam Es Hashem. We see Hashem. Ula Dugma, for example, Kishiroim Chayos Kitanos Im Gedolos Ade Mispar. You see animals. It doesn't have to be you go to the zoo and you see an elephant. You see any animal. Vishinui Tavnit Ko Echad Ve'Echad. Each one looks different, is created different, it's a different purpose, a different way it functions. Vod, halome, adam arishon ad hayom hazeh, lo hayu beiz b'nei adam, domin mamash el hazeh. From the time of creation until now, how many people have been born from the time of creation? Has anyone figured that out? I don't know. A lot. There haven't been two people that look exactly the same, even the most identical twins. Roni and Donnie. How's it possible? If I look right now at Keith and Jonathan, I see a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Don't let it get to your head. I see a Kadosh Baruch Hu. There's no one else in the world that looks like you, and you're sitting next to each other, and there's no. How is it possible? It's unbelievable. V'chein bebruim shein domazel lezeh. V'yeshna brum ketanim shetzara kli magdil la'alafim ad sheyev. It's unbelievable. It's incredible. You see this with the famously where Avigdor Miller had his famous story with the apple. They actually have the picture. Avigdor Miller, his grandson, was in the dining room and Avigdor Miller was in the kitchen and he hears Avigdor Miller say, "Wow, Kadosh Baruch Hu, thank you. The apple is delicious. And I'm getting the nutrients that I need. And it looks and tastes different than all the other fruit. You could have had all the fruit look the same, but just give us different." And the red is so rich and deep. Thank you. He saw Kadosh Baruch Hu in an apple. And if we trained ourselves, and I'm not there. I can't claim that I'm there. If we train ourselves to look at everything that Kadosh Baruch Hu created as a vehicle to get closer to Hashem and to see Marbu Masech Hashem, we would want to make an Osem Haisa Bereshis on an apple. We can't, but we would want to. And he quotes over here on the left side something I thought was very powerful also. He quotes the Saba Mikelm, who was his Rebbe, the Alter Mikelm. Amar al Pliya Atzuma, stood on something very wondrous. Hine anu roem ba'olam, shekol davar chadash, anything that's new that's created. This phone. What? How's you want to understand it? Who made it? Who invented it? Who created it? How does it work? We become obsessed over something new. We want to understand every aspect about it. V'chadome. V'ilu ha'olam ha'gadol hazeh. Shehu malo chachma, but the world, which is full of chachma, a lot more chachma than the iPhone, she'ein bo davar b'li chachma lein tachlis. There's nothing that doesn't have infinite chachma. A fuel in the mal, an ant. Chayim bo v'rono sov ein sholim mihu balabira. We should see everything in the world, a beautiful flower. You see, who created this? Wow. Wow. You could look at every person and every single thing in the world and start to think about and get closer to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Marabu Masech Hashem is not just something we say to make an excuse for a vacation that maybe we shouldn't take. Marabu Masech Hashem, I hear that a lot. We should live it. We should live that. Yes, on the ocean we say a bracha. Osam Aysa Bracious, Asa Yama Gadol, and there's only specific things that from the time of creation we can recite that bracha, but every time we engage, encounter anything beautiful, really anything at all, can be used as a way to get closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's, it could be life-changing. It has to be normal. It has to be done in a normal way. If I come to the Kiddush on Shabbos and I see someone like pick up a potato from the chalent and start talking to the potato, it has to be done in a normal way. We don't have to articulate it. We can think it. But everything we encounter brings us closer to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. the most are that which is here from creation, because then we realize that just like this is still here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is still here also. We should be Zocha. If we are traveling and going to be near the ocean, we should say the brachos. We should look at everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put in the world. Marabu Masach Hashem, and a vehicle to be filled with the love of Hashem, the fear of Hashem, the awe of Hashem. If we do that, I think we'll elevate the soul of Sari Shamon, and we'll all get much closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the process. Thank you.